Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you know that Republicans have introduced a piece of legislation that could potentially rob millions of American citizens of their right to vote? I didn't until I started reading a little bit more about this, much to my consternation. I am very, very pleased to be joined in this 3 o'clock segment that we have every Monday with the Center for American Progress Action Fund by Greta Bedakovics from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the Associate Director of Democracy Policy there, and she's here to talk with all of us, including you, about the SAVE Act and its potential repercussions here in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Greta.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks so much for having me.
Very happy to have you. This sounds very innocuous. Ooh, it's the SAVE Act. But what does this thing, what does this piece of legislation actually do?
Yeah, I think innocuous is exactly right. Legislation is called the SAVE Act. It in no way would save Americans. What it would do is it would require Americans to essentially show documentary proof of citizenship every time they register to vote and every time they update the registration information. So what that means for most Americans is they would either have to present a passport when they register to vote or their driver's license in combination with a birth certificate. And this is where we see a lot of issues start to arise, because as we've shown with data, the majority of Americans don't have a passport. Only about 43% of Wisconsin citizens have a passport, and 85% of married women don't have a birth certificate that matches their current legal name, which would also affect over a million Wisconsin women.
So 85% of married women do not have a birth certificate that matches their married name. So how would they be able to vote? Like, what would they have to do?
Yeah, currently under the bill, it's very explicit that you would essentially have to have the application, the name that you were applying to register to vote under has to match the one on your birth certificate. So that's the problem that married women face. There's a provision in there that basically charges this commission based in DC, it's called the Election Assistance Commission, where they can develop voluntary guidelines that states can adopt to resolve any name change discrepancies. Like the same way that when women go to the DMV, they show other documentation like a marriage license or change of name documentation in order to prove who they are. Those are processes that states similarly could likely adopt under the bill, but they would vary from state to state. So in some states, it might be easier to show that you are who you are in your birth certificate. In others, it might be a lot harder, but it would really require women to basically go down to register to vote with like filing cabinets worth of data in order to prove who they are, where, you know, their spouses and men would similarly not have to jump through all of these loopholes.
So if you're married and you went from Smith to Jones and your birth certificate doesn't say Jones, you would have to, I guess, because again, as you were explaining, Greta, the federal legislation doesn't say guarantee that bring your marriage license and that's enough, which, by the way, if I asked all my married friends, do you know where your marriage license is? I'm certain most of them would be like, I have no idea. But so that's not a guaranteed approach. So in the states that would take a more restrictive approach, and here in Wisconsin, certainly we've got divided government. It would be interesting if that sort of easing of the ability of women to vote was something that Robin Voss would support. If they don't allow you to use a marriage license, I'm just trying... How would you do it? Like, so would you have to either like legally change your name back to Smith and go through that process, or go get a passport, which now takes months and due to further cuts from the Trump administration would take even longer and costs, I think, northwards of $150. Like, how would a married woman that went from Jones to Smith actually go vote? She'd have to plan like months ahead of time and expend an incredible amount of time, energy, and money to ensure that she was able to vote.
Yeah, I think your emphasis on time, energy, and money is absolutely accurate. I do think that if the bill passed, states would adopt procedures. I think we'd likely see that marriage licenses and name change documents would count. But like you said, most married women Like, that's something that everybody would have to have on hand immediately. You also can't just have a regular copy of it. It has to be a certified copy. So women are going to have to, like, go to their county clerks and start tracking on this documentation and paying for certified copies of everything. If you've been married multiple times, that's every single marriage certificate. If you change your name back to your maiden name in the meantime, it's those name change documentations. So when I say filing cabinets, I mean, for some women, that's what literally it would take to vote. And again, not just the first time you register to vote, but every time you update your registration. I myself have moved 4 times in the same election jurisdiction over the course of 6 years. That means I would have to take all of these forms of documentation and basically prove my citizenship status and who I am to my county election official instead of allowing them to do their own job. But you're right, just like you said, if that's not something the state legislature adopts, you're basically making women pay for a passport in order to register to vote. And that's a poll tax, right? A passport easily costs $150. If you need expedited delivery service, it's all these additional costs. And I think even if you're ordering these documents, you know, a certified copy of your marriage license and things, that's basically a poll tax. And again, there's like no money behind the bill. A lot of states, for example, if you need voter ID to register to vote or to show voter ID at the polls, they provide that free of charge so that it's not considered a poll tax, but there is no money behind this bill.
Fascinating, Greta, that there is no money behind the bill, because certainly after voter ID was adopted in many states, without those free voter ID provisions, it was those laws were challenged successfully because it effectively amounted to a poll tax. What are Republicans saying in response to this concern about, and listen, married women, if they have a job or more than, you know, you have anything to do with your life, it's like, oh, I've got hours to go track these documents or to drive into my clerk's office, especially live in a huge, geographically large and dispersed rural county in places like northern Wisconsin or Texas, and traverse an hour and then stand around and wait in line. What do Republicans say about these concerns?
Generally, they've kind of brushed them off. Speaking of driving times, we actually just on Friday published a new report that shows that Americans in large rural counties, how far they would have to drive. We looked at the 30 largest rural counties in the US, excluding Alaska, because people there would likely have to fly. But all of that aside, in these 30 largest counties, folks would have to drive 4.5 hours on average to get their closest election office. But we found counties in Arizona and Wyoming where people would have to drive 8 hours round trip to vote, right? So they're taking a whole day off to do this because we're looking at business hours anyway. They're basically paying out of their pocket. They're paying for gas to register to vote as well. In some counties, it's $80 in gas money just round trip to register to vote, basically. And not only is it basically making voters pay for themselves to be able to access the ballot box, we're also saying that states would have to take on more debt as well if this bill became law. Right now, Wisconsin, right, like most states, has online voter registration. It's very easy to do. It's very cost efficient. But if the bill were enacted, you would have to basically use a paper registration form and show it to your county election official. They would then have to process that. And that's way more expensive for them to do. It requires a lot more manpower. It requires a lot more hours than the online voter registration system. So it's both voters and states who would be out money under this bill.
So all of you will pay more in taxes to do this thing that we don't actually need. This is the part that I want to get into next, Greta, mm-hmm. because I have said for many years now that Democrats need to stop hand-wringing about voter ID laws. They've become baked into the cake. Showing a photo ID, I think, to most Americans doesn't seem like a bridge too far. And that sort of battle has been already fought. This is of a different type altogether. And it's ironic to me that there seems to be this, oh, well, if you were pro voter ID, then this thing, yeah, this is just an extent. No, this is completely, completely different. And let's be very clear here, an incredible burden on women voting, especially, and married women, which I thought Republicans were big fans of the married women, but I've digressed. Here's the thing. It is utterly unnecessary to ensure or to prevent people who are not citizens from voting to show this kind of documentation. Can you tell people a little bit about the systems that are in place that are effectively back office systems? People don't see or feel them in their particular processes because it's happening effectively in the back office of each state's electoral systems and processes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it is easy in some ways compared this to state voter ID laws, but I'll be very clear that most Americans likely don't know this, but like when you register to vote, you basically already provide either your driver's license number or the last four digits of your social security number when you log into like an online portal or when you fill out the application. So basically the same ID, right, that you show at the polls, your driver's license number, is what you use in most instances to register to vote. So we're talking about like voter ID being a policy that kind of already exists for registering to vote. And like you said, this goes way beyond that. You know, some of the online systems, I mean, that's why it's the job of election officials. This is what they're paid to do to verify voter eligibility, right? The DMVs in a lot of states already collect citizenship data. And so when you use, for example, like automatic registration, or when you go to the DMV to register to vote, they use that information in order to verify your eligibility and your identity. They also use, you know, name change documentations. They use moving documents from the postal office, all of these things that are federally based. They use citizenship data from the Department of Homeland Security, right? Like we have these federal and state databases that election officials doing their job verifying your identity, but the bill completely flips it on its head. Now it would be up to you to like prove your eligibility and your identity to your election official.
Folks, I am joined this half hour by Greta Bedakovics. She's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's their Associate Director of Democracy Policy. We're talking about this terribly named SAVE Act, which isn't going to save us from anything other than, I don't know, saving women the trouble of voting, Greta. Ladies, just stay home, especially you married women. You don't need to vote anymore. Not to put too fine a point on this, this is utterly and completely distinguishable from voter ID, and it is attempting to solve a non-existent problem. Even organizations like the Heritage Foundation and ALEC have failed to find any evidence of non-citizens voting beyond like a handful every once in a while, like a 0.00001%. And it's because the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration work with your state's election officials to verify citizenship. We're going to come back with Greta in just a few minutes. Not a few minutes, a few seconds. We're going to continue this very important conversation. Do you know a woman over the age of 18? You think she likes to vote? We discuss more when we get back right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.